Hold on. I just got a text.
Welcome to 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Just a quick shift edition here. The news of the day, well, it began early, and it was the dismissal of Jason Botterill as general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. Kevin Adams takes over. But then, Elliot, after the press conference with Kim Pegula, Terry Pegula, and the new general manager, more dominoes fell. As we record this podcast, 6:03 Eastern on a Tuesday night, what is the very latest?
Well, the very latest is that in addition to what, you know, you mentioned they did where Jason Botterill was let go and his assistants, Randy Sexton and Steve Greeley, they let go of Chris Taylor, who was the head coach of their American Hockey League team in Rochester, a team that had done really well the past couple of years, and his staff. And also let go was Ryan Jankowski, the director of amateur scouting, and what I'm told is a good chunk of their scouting department. So I think we're still trying to figure out where this is all going to land, but this is a massive, massive bloodletting of the Buffalo Sabres.
Give us some context here for maybe perhaps new hockey fans that haven't seen something like this. This is not just the NHL team. This goes deeper and this goes into different departments. How many times, if ever, have you seen it go this deep?
You know, the last one I can really remember where it went like this was Toronto when they fired Dave Nonis. They took out a chunk of his scouting staff too. And that was a big one. There were major changes, and eventually it led to, you know, Lou Lamoriello and Kyle Dubas and Mike Babcock. But, I mean, this one today, in terms of as seismic as it is, maybe it's because there's just nothing much going on, but it seems worse.
We're going to get to the timing here in a couple of seconds, but this is one at a lot of different levels for the Buffalo Sabres. What does this indicate to you, given that, and we'll get there, I swear, because it is still the news of the day, given that they've gone with an inexperienced general manager. This is Kevin Adams' first job. Last year, we saw an out-of-the-box hire with Ralph Kruger behind the bench. What do we expect now? We've seen departments gutted, Ryan Jankowski, head of scouting, gone. You mentioned Chris Taylor, his staff as well in Rochester. What do we expect now?
Boy, that's a great question. I don't know if I really know the answer. Look, let's go back to the beginning and let's try to see where we are here. So
okay,
when the pandemic came and Buffalo made... they were really ripped for the way they handled the Pegulas, the way they handled the changes, laying people off. And even, you know, some people came out of the woodwork. Larry Quinn, who was the former president, he was very critical of the changes that were made, some of them. The Knox family that founded the organization, one of the children of the parents, that Seymour and Northrop, that founded the team, was critical. Like, it was a big deal. And Tim Graham from The Athletic did an interview with Kim Pegula and wrote a story about it. And someone sent me a quote from one of the stories. And it's from Kim Pegula. And it said, "We fully admit we put trust in some of the wrong people and made decisions based on information that was given to us by them. It's our fault. We put too much faith in certain people. We allowed them more leeway than clearly they deserved." And someone said to me, "You watch that quote. They are going to make changes in hockey." Now, one of the things about the Pegulas is they've let go of people with term. Tim Murray was fired a year after getting an extension, and he's on the payroll till the end of June. Rex Ryan on the football side was a guy who was fired with term left. And when Jason Botterill got a vote of confidence from Kim Pegula herself to the Associated Press 3 weeks ago, you know, he had 2 years left on his deal. I thought, and most other people thought, he'd get another year. But someone again warned me that the person who sent me that quote that said his leash is short, they feel that, quote unquote, hockey people have let them down and they are going to go outside of typical hockey people. He says, "You mark my words, they're going to do it." And Kevin Adams' hiring to the business side of the organization was seen as that. And now you look at it, the four top hockey people are Kim and Terry Pegula. They're Ralph Kruger, who certainly has a hockey pedigree, but not much in terms of the NHL. and Kevin Adams, who's worked for the family for 10 years, although obviously he was a player and a former first-round draft pick and Stanley Cup champion. And this person texted me this afternoon, and they said, look, I know you're busy. I'm not going to call you, but this is what this is about, that they feel that the hockey people they've been told about haven't worked, and they are going the exact opposite direction. Yes, these people may have some pedigree in the sport, but they're not NHL people, and that's what this is about from the Pegulas, he said.
Would I be off base then if I suggested that this is a move that indicates, further to the Kim Pegula comment, that they feel duped by people in and around the NHL, and now they are retreating inside a Pegula bubble?
I think that's very fair. Like they said today, there was no search.
We had Kevin in mind very recently, only because we know him over 9 years. He has handled very admirably any job we've given him, loyal, communicative, and we just feel that it's a better place for us to be with Kevin as our GM.
I think, to add to that, I think Terry touched on it earlier, that the other GMs that we had hired or was here before, we interview them. You call around, but until you get to the day-to-day, and sometimes, you know, it takes years, right, to understand where they're at and what common ground that you find together. With Kevin, you know, it's been a long process, and not in the GM role, but certainly as a person. And I think this is why we think that, you know, this is a little bit different. This is a change from maybe how we normally or a lot of other Cubs normally hire GMs. This was somebody that has been part of our organizations in multiple roles, and that we've come to know and respect. And I think that makes, you know, a difference this time around.
They made their search. They got their coach last year, and they've known Kevin Adams for a long time. And these are the people that are going to make their decisions. They feel that they know them and they trust them. Now, the one thing that is unusual here is it's very clear something happened in the last 3 weeks, because Kim Pegula, when asked about her quote, said it was our intent to keep Botterill, but there were too many differences of opinion. And Terry Pegula said, we felt that we were not being heard. Now, I understand there was a review, an independent review of the organization done over the winter. And whatever those recommendations were, I think Jason Botterill pushed against them. I think that some of those decisions may have been the ones we saw today, changes in some of their coaching and scouting staff and their assistant general managers. I think he pushed against them. But also, I believe that whatever Botterill's plan was in terms of pushing forward with the team and the budget, they didn't agree with it either. And that's kind of where we are. And, you know, the one thing I will say, there's a lot of people saying that the Pegulas are losing a fortune and they're making the changes because they're running out of money or whatever. Look, if you look at their stock price, they're getting hammered. There's no question about it. But what someone said to me is everywhere in sports is about to make these changes, that owners are getting hammered, just like every business owner out there is getting hammered by the coronavirus. It says contracts are about to change in hockey and in every sport. Mm-hmm. There's going to be less term. There's going to be pandemic wording in these contracts. And in the States, you'll know more what this is than Canada. You're going to become an at-will employee, which is going to make it easier for them to terminate you and also maybe for you to get out of a contract too. You know, the Pegulas are getting hammered for their finances here. This person said to me, and this is a different person than what I was referencing earlier, more NHL teams. Like, he wouldn't be surprised that New Jersey, which is about to do some hiring, also looks at it this way too. A leaner staff with more favorable contract wording to mm-hmm. ownership.
Okay, you started that answer off by talking about something happening in the 3 weeks since Kim Pegula said Botterill's our guy. We're coming back with Jason Botterill.
Mm-hmm.
Can I put forward a suggestion?
Sure.
That something was Jack Eichel. And that something was a quote by Jack Eichel on his exit saying he's frustrated. And if you read in between the lines, you can tell that he's an elite level player. He's watching Connor McDavid, peer group, same draft, go to the playoffs, collect individual trophies, etc. And he's going back home in the spring. Was Jack Eichel the something that happened in the 3 weeks?
You know, I think it's impossible not to hear what he's saying. But again, I think that people have heard Eichel say this before. It's not like it's a secret. You know, the one thing is, I remember a year ago when Edmonton had another change, you know, people said to me, Connor McDavid, is he ever going to ask for a trade? And, you know, I said on radio in Edmonton last year that I thought the Oilers had 2 years to sort this out. Mm-hmm. And then they had to worry that maybe McDavid would get fed up. I don't know how much time Buffalo has there. Like now a year later, Connor McDavid feels completely different. The Oilers look like a much better team. And I'm sure that he's much happier now because that's all he wants to do is win. I really think that the Sabres do have to be looking at this and wondering. Now, I don't know that I'm not saying Jack Eichel's gone to them and said, I want to be traded, but you have to be worried about the possibility of it. And you know, the one thing here too, and you cannot blame Botterill, like the Eichel contract is going to turn out to be a great deal for the Sabres, I think. The Skinner one, that's a much bigger question. I don't think Jason Botterill wanted to give Jack Eichel that contract, and ownership said, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Jason Botterill wanted to give Jeff Skinner that deal. I think what Botterill wanted to do was offer big money for a low term. Jason Botterill, from what I heard, is not a term guy. He says too many teams get burned by those mistakes. And I think he was overruled. But I think what they're looking at right here is there's a finite amount of time here before Eichel says, I've had enough. And I do think that is on the mind of the Sabres organization.
So then do we see the Buffalo Sabres behave as if this is the first few weeks of Terry Pegula buying the Buffalo Sabres, which is go buy me free agents. We need to audition for Jack here. We need to show Jack Eichel that we're serious and committed to making the playoffs ASAP. Pay Ville Leino, pay Christian Ehrhoff, pay whomever. The Buffalo Sabres are open for business.
I think you've got to wonder about it, right? Mm-hmm. Again, they were asked, does this mean you don't believe in the draft anymore? And Terry Pegula said, oh, no, we still believe in the draft.
That is the cornerstone of the growth of any sports franchise is to draft well and develop your young players. And we're still 100% on that track.
Which you have to. But, you know, they've got a lot of cap room available. They do have a lot of RFAs, but they've got a lot of cap room available. You know, we'll see. They're not going to play for 9 months. Well, 9 months since they last played, but they're not going to play probably until January now. They've got time. But whatever the pitch was, they didn't like it. They did not like it. And I think it was also, it was a combination of the pitch and I think, you know, whatever changes organizationally, they were kind of told to make. Like Kevin Adams, he went on a road trip late in the regular season. He traveled with the team. That raised eyebrows. I mean, this person who sent me that quote couldn't have been the only guy who saw it.
Yeah.
People saw the writing on the wall, and I think were just surprised that it came this quickly.
Pretty sure that was the dad's trip as well.
I think so.
That Adams, I remember getting a text at that time saying, this is an interesting development. The reason I ask about, you know, is this the Buffalo Sabres looking to load up in free agency like they did in the early Pegula years, was Kim Pegula's quote today, which is, we don't think this is a rebuild. So on the one hand, they're tearing things down, you know, Rochester, boom. New general manager, scouting staff. There's a lot of tearing down. But in their mind, here's Kim Pegula saying, we're not rebuilding here. It sounds to me like this is going to be restock. And they're restocking now with a general manager that doesn't have any NHL experience. As you pointed out early on, he is very much and has been in the orbit of the Pegulas for 10 years or so. So he is well known to the team. You have Terry Pegula saying not only we had too many differences of opinion with Jason Botterill, but also saying we felt we weren't being heard. This very much sounds to me like this is going to be the Pegulas with a couple of hands on the steering wheel here. They will be making the decisions from now on. Thank you very much. Would that be fair?
Well, I think they always have. I think yes, but I think they always have. Like, I remember when Darcy Regier took over, or they took over under Darcy Regier, one of the things that I know Regier felt was that there was a lot more interference from ownership than he was used to. When he was hired, the Sabres were like a model organization, and they said the general manager runs the team and we trust you to run the team. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't, like most organizations do. But I know he felt that the Pegulas were incredibly involved, more so than he was used to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's different now. Like back then, what were organizations worth? Not what they're worth like now. And you better expect interference. Your owner is going to be involved. But I definitely think the Pegulas are going to have a big say. But the other thing I'm sitting here, you know, like I was talking about this today with someone. You've got to add. Like, even if you want to go to video scouting, which they might want to do, you have to have people. And you have to have, you know, just some smart people. People that might not want the spotlight. Like someone said to me today that two guys that would make a lot of sense for Buffalo right now who like to work and have ties to the organization and don't need attention are guys like Rick Dudley and Scott Luce. Now, both of those guys work for other organizations. Dudley works for Carolina and Luce works for Vegas. But, you know, Dudley obviously has a huge tie into Buffalo, and Scott Luce's dad obviously is a big tie to Buffalo, and he's got a tie there. Like, these are guys that you probably want to bring in because they love to find players, and they do a good job of finding players. And that's what you have to do, especially, you know, draft-eligible players. And I think that you're going to have to add, whether you like it or not, you're going to add some bodies there. Because I think asking Ralph Kruger as a coach and Kevin Adams as a GM to do all of this, it's way too much. So you've got to add somebody, and I hope they're smart about it, or else it's not going to get better. I can understand people wanting to thin down the herd a little bit, but you've got to be reasonable. You have to spend money on finding players, especially those hidden gems. And I think it's a big mistake if they just say, you know what, it hasn't worked, so we're gutting it. I don't get that.
You know, I wonder, considering there's a thing called the play-ins now, and we'll see if we get there. Our fingers are all crossed. The NHL can pull this off and get the game back on ice. But Buffalo Sabres take two L's and turn them into W's. Are we having this exact same conversation? Does this organization go through all of this if they're in the play-ins in the 24-team universe?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, like I'll tell you, like someone told me that they had heard that Chris Taylor, they were working on an extension for him because they were really happy with the job he did there. They were working, I think that there's other coaches there who have either some, I don't know if they're extensions or options, they were working on those. Like an agent told me that they were working on contracts for some of their AHL guys and even some of their NHL guys because they have time. And then this morning, all of a sudden, they're like, it's over. Like until this morning, Jason Botterill was going at about like he had the job. Mm-hmm. So I would say the answer to your question is probably yes, Jeff, but I don't know that for sure.
How would you characterize the last 3 years of the Buffalo Sabres under Jason Botterill? I mean, I don't know that 3 years really is enough to evaluate a general manager, to be honest, but that's all we have. How are you going to look back at what we just saw in these last 3 years from Botterill?
I think the answer is incomplete. Again, like I said, some of the things that they did was directed at them from ownership, but other things you've got to take the heat for. And honestly, we're probably not going to know for another 3 years if Botterill did a good job or not. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, look, they didn't win enough. And when you don't win in this business, that's what happens. But to be honest, I don't look at it and say, I really feel we have a full, fair picture of what he did. Do you?
No. I think I made this point a couple of different times on the podcast this season. This is a team that I would characterize as in reflection. They're trying to figure out what they have in Casey Mittelstadt. Can he be a number two center behind Jack Eichel? I don't know. They're trying to figure out what they have in Tage Thompson. Can he be an NHL player, part of the Ryan O'Reilly trade? We don't know. We know about Jack Eichel. He was there, of course, previous to Jason Botterill. But we know that Rasmus Dahlin is going to be an excellent defenseman for a long time in the NHL. We suspect.
And I think that Jukka Harju for Nylander deal could turn out to be really good for them.
I think it already has. Mm-hmm. I think we said it at the minute it was done. This looks like a win for the Buffalo Sabres. But I'll look at Buffalo, and you made this point earlier on this season and maybe even last season on the podcast as well. What's the first thing that Joel Quenneville always asks before he takes a new head coaching job?
Who's the goalie?
And that's the one thing that Buffalo never had. I like Carter Hutton a lot. I like Carter Hutton. I like Linus Ullmark. I'm going to really like Laukkanen, who's a goaltender of the future there. But they don't have the goalie. And when you're a team that's in reflection, when you're a building team, man, a good goaltender can erase a lot of mistakes and extend people's careers. To me, this is going to be, once again, the lesson of shore up your goaltending first before anything else.
Well, you know, Carter Hutton, it's interesting. He did an article, I think it was Lance Lisowski did an article recently where Hutton talked about, I guess, some eye surgery he had done. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope it works out for him because I like it. I like Carter Hutton a lot too.
Great story. Great story.
But I don't know. It's so weird to me because I thought it was going to be another year for him. And it just, you know, like, I want the Sabres to do well because I think their fans deserve it.
Sure.
Like, you should be rewarded for being that good a fan base once in a while, right? Hmm. And if you're a Sabres fan, you're sitting here today and you're going, why are we so invested in this? And it's not good.
What do you think happens with the roster now? Again, this is a rookie general manager. We don't know much about how Adams is going to work in this capacity, other than it's going to be in conjunction with the Pegulas. You've talked plenty about managing upwards more than downwards and how important that is for a general manager in today's NHL. If you're a member of the Buffalo Sabres, a player, I mean, how are you feeling right now?
You're thinking you're going again? Now, the one thing is, I think the players like Kruger. I think they do.
Jack certainly does. Jack Eichel certainly does.
Kruger said today, I'm the coach. Like, I think he was wondering if, you know, we were all going to, because we've talked about how the word was his influence was growing. Mm-hmm. And he said,
I signed on here as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, and I'm very proud to continue. There's a lot of emotions attached with decisions that were made today, but all that matters now is the actions that we take moving forward. And my actions will continue to be as the head coach. Kevin already mentioned it. Our relationship developed extremely organically.
But I have to think his opinion's going to matter here. So the players probably look at that and say, okay. But I think that there's got to be a certain amount of this again.
This again, the story continues. There is no savior coming right now. No one on the horizon that's going to turn the Buffalo Sabres fortunes around, which is why it'll be fascinating to watch the offseason, whenever that happens, to see what Kevin Adams, new general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, does. Taro Sugimoto, where are you now? Thanks for joining us on another edition of 31 Thoughts, the podcast.